It's the E-commerce Master Plan Podcast, here to help you grow your e-commerce business faster and more efficiently by cutting through the hype to bring you inspiration and guidance from the e-commerce sector and beyond. Here's your host, Chloe Thomas.
Hello, Master Plan World. Welcome to our latest podcast. As always, it's a pleasure to have you listening. I get lots of requests from listeners just like you to interview smaller bricks and clicks businesses. So today I have a great one for you to hear about. So let me introduce you to today's special guest. Catherine Salt owns the boutique Bricks and Clicks e-commerce business Plum's Lingerie. They sell the perfect brands to bring their customers a specialist range of lingerie, swimwear and silk nightwear. On top of the in-store sales, they are taking 60 orders per month online by concentrating on customer service and communication to build the business. Hi Catherine, I've just given our listeners a very quick overview of you and your business and where you are now. So how did you get started in e-commerce?
Hi, Chloe. Well, we started the actual retail store in 2006, and it was always in the plan that we would have an online shop. In fact, part of the reason it was so difficult for us to choose a name for the business is we had to make sure we could get the URL. We started the website about 3 years later. And for us, it's been a vital part of our revenue ever since.
Do you find it's mainly the same customers coming in to buy from the website as buy from the store? Or do you find you get a wider audience coming to the online store than what you get coming through the door?
It's a much wider audience. We have maybe one or two customers in Jersey where we're based for the online store, where our second main market is the UK mainland, and then the USA. In fact, we've sent all around the world. We sent to Japan, we've got a customer in New Zealand, and we have even sent a parcel off to Afghanistan.
Wow. Just for those of us, those who are listening around the world who aren't familiar with Jersey and are thinking, Catherine doesn't sound like she's from the USA. This is the original Jersey, which is an island just off the British coast between Britain and France. It's a beautiful place, well worth going to if you're in the UK to take a trip to. So it's quite impressive that you're selling from your tiny island in the middle of the English Channel all the way around the world. Do you think that's down to your product selection or down to other elements of what you're doing?
It's definitely down to product selection. We sell brands that are only available in boutiques. You can't buy them in department stores. You can't buy them on, and they don't stock any other online only stores. They only sell to people who have Bricks boutiques. So we're competing with direct competitors. So it's little shops just like us. We also are selling brands that people are very loyal to. So it's repeat purchases. We are seeing that people are buying the same bra over and over and over again. They're just buying in different colours, which is great for us because it means our returns are quite low.
Yeah, and it is one of those, the lingerie, nightwear, swimwear market for women is one which, when we find a brand that fits and is comfortable and that we like, we're going to just keep buying it, aren't we? So if you've got that right product selection, you're not selling Triumph and Panache, and the big brands, you've got ones that people find, they love it. You've limited the competitiveness and you've improved the customer desire for your product, haven't you? And the likelihood of repeat purchase.
Yes. And we've also seen during the recession, a lot of small boutiques shut down. So people had been introduced to the brands through a traditional shop experience, and then the shop has closed down and they can't get them unless they go online.
Ah, so you've gained customers from the recession because you're the only place they can get those brands they love.
Yeah, we've seen quite a lot of small boutiques shut down over the last 5 years, 6 years.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons I was so excited to get you on the podcast is that I speak to a lot of people who have the fashion boutique or the interiors boutique where they've got that fantastic edit, the way they pick and choose the products and the design as they stock. but their customer base is limited geographically because they're a physical store and they want to take that step online and they don't know how to do it, which is, you know, something you've been living and breathing for the last few years. So what, before we get into lots of detail about the Bricks and Clicks world, let's just get a bit of a grip on where you are with the online side of things at the moment. So what's the platform you're selling on? What's your website built on?
The current one, which is the one we've had since we started, is it's a version of Zencart, but it's creaking. It's creaking really badly. We're currently working on a new Magento website, which will link into a specific CRM lingerie till system we have in the boutique, which is going to help our stock management considerably. Because at the moment, if we sell something online or in the shop, we have to run to the website and take it off. It's really archaic.
It's kind of one of those problems when you've got, you know, your shop is the online stockroom. And, yeah. You know, I think there should be, just for those of us who work in e-commerce, there should be, someone needs to do the comedy sketch of the order comes in from the website and your number one customer has it in their hand wandering around the shop. And you're going,
we do have moments where, like, oh, we kind of sold that this morning. That's a bit of a pain. And we're very small. It is just me and my business partner, Tricia, who's my mother as well, who is, you know, she fulfills the stuff on the website and corresponds with clients and stuff, but she's not technical, you know. She can probably take something off the website, but not much more than that.
Yeah. To have that integrated, even though you've only really got two outlets, even at that point, stock integration becomes quite important as the volume goes up. Of course, you don't need it on day one where you're maybe getting one order a week, but as it ramps up, it becomes quite critical. So how is the Magento site build going?
It makes me want to weep with frustration. I'll be honest. It's been one of the most painful experiences of my whole entire business life. We are on our fourth developer.
Oh, my Lord.
What I have learned on this about web developers, I could write a book on. Be very, one, don't try and go too cheap. Two, make sure you speak to their previous clients and see the stuff they've done. And then, because I think a lot of our issues were, we had the till system that we're integrating is specifically for lingerie and nobody's got any experience with it because it's a very niche area.
And integration is always the killer. In any website build, it's always the killer because, you know, it's essential to get it right. And, you know, my advice to anyone who's saying to her, we're planning on getting a new website, like, find someone who's done the integration before.
Yeah.
One, because then you know it's possible and you can see it actually working, not promises of this and promises of that and all the rest of it. And it's, you know, so many assumptions get made. You'll be like, well, I assumed stock was a given on an integration. No, we didn't think it was a given. We thought price was the important bit. No, VAT was important. Oh, no, not VAT. So, you know, always one, you know, to make sure it's actually possible. And two, because it can cost a fortune if you're paying someone to develop that integration. So yeah. Great, you've got the niche system for lingerie, which I'm sure is essential given all the different sizings and all the rest of it. But yeah, the integration, it doesn't surprise me, that's the killer. So your three top tips was, one, don't go too cheap, two, speak to the previous clients, and three, look at their existing websites that they built.
Yeah.
Is that right? Cool.
Yeah, because you want to see, like you say, that they've done something similar in the past. And the way I found my final, and it will be my final developer, by hook or by crook, it's going to be the final web guys I ever use, is I went to the Magento sort of developer site and looked for people who were their top class developers in the UK, who had like their gold certifications, and also they've won customer service awards as well. So when I email them, they email me back. I mean, these are simple things.
Oh, but
so many developers aren't great at the communications aspect of the relationship.
I feel your pain. I recorded another one of these interviews yesterday, which will actually be going live after this one. So you won't be able to listen to it whilst you're listening to us talking. But he was saying about how what the first website developer they had went bush, just disappeared. No longer responding to anything or contact. It was like, oh gosh.
Yeah. One of mine actually never spoke to me. He never picked up a telephone. He never spoke to me ever. He would email occasionally. And then we had the people who owned, the guys who recommended us, which are the guys who developed the Till system. So I'm thinking they must know how to integrate it because obviously they've worked together for years. They ended up having to interpret. They had to speak to him for me. And I was like, I can't have upset him. I've never spoken to him. I really haven't. I haven't had the opportunity to shout at him yet. So it wasn't that. It was very strange.
Oh, bizarre.
He eventually got bored. That one got bored.
Yeah.
Decided it was finished enough.
Lovely. But it sounds like you've now found the right guys, and
yeah, I think so. I'm very happy with the fact it's little things. They have given me a task list, which is what I've asked every single one of my developers for, and they've never come back with, of all the things that need to be done or written down. They're using Basecamp. Like I said, they talk to me. It's a revelation.
Yeah, it's buying a website. It's such a traumatic experience, not least because you don't know what you're getting until the day you get it, which is several months and several thousand pounds down the line. And you need that extra reassurance, those clear communication channels, and some clarity over what's actually happening and what you need to provide. Never fails to amaze me the number of people I hear from who've been working on this. They're like, I'm like, we were supposed to have a call today. Like, oh no, our new website developer said they need the product list tomorrow. Like, and when did they tell you that? Yesterday. Like, seriously? You've got to reformat 1,000 products in 24 hours, which they've probably known they needed for the last 2 months, but they didn't bother to tell you. They just assumed it would be ready. It's crazy. I sound like we sound like we're having a proper old go at website developers. There are many brilliant website developers out there.
Brilliant ones. I have just been pretty unlucky. Getting the first website up and running was a doddle. It's a little company called Pace Retail, and it's a sort of off-the-shelf template. You know, they're really helpful. It cost me under £1,000. I mean, this is a few years ago, to get up and running with it. But that's I got online, and I started selling things, and it was wonderful.
You need.
It's everything it needs, but it's taught me enough to know actually what I need now.
That's what I'm such a fan of, starting off with a teeny tiny website, especially if you're in that bricks and clicks world. Start off with a very cheap website that's quick, simple, easy. It's not very integrated because you're not really sure what you want from an integration at that point. And you can just start to experience it, work out what you do like, work out what you don't like, but you're not massively invested in money and time in order to get it up there. So we've got that Magento website on the way, and I'm not going to press you for a live date because I figure that might be a bit cruel. But please,
next week. Well, I've been hearing that for a while.
Well, please let me know when it's live, and I will update the show notes with the fact the new website's gone live, so people listening can know whether they're looking at the old website or the new website. In the process of this build, have you got any key widgets or plugins that you're planning on putting in from day one, or are they more on the roadmap for the future?
I'm very excited because of all these new tools. Abandoned shopping cart was a big one for me.
Oh, cool.
So when somebody comes in, has a wander around, pops something in their shopping basket, and then doesn't finish the checkout process, we can sort of go, hello, did you forget? Look, here's your lovely stuff. That will help. Also, we're moving from a 4-page checkout to a 1-page checkout. So I'm expecting that will increase my conversion rate considerably.
Excellent.
We will also be doing Skype fittings as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's so there's loads of stuff that we're going to be doing to help, well, make it easier for the customers to buy from us. I think a lot of time we forget that it's about how easy it is to the customers to buy something rather than here's all our stuff.
Yeah, it's lingerie, it's one of those areas which it's difficult. If you don't know your size in that brand, it's very, very difficult to get the right one. And actually, it could turn into a returns nightmare. I'm just going to buy 5 just to see which one fits, which it's no good for your stock control when you've only got those 2 outlets.
It's not, because we do a lot of our stuff just in time as well. So we get a customer who orders 5 bras in, intending only to keep 1. And if they're picking what we would call funny sizes, these are sizes that we don't sell a lot in the shop, we'll probably be stuck with them.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's not natural flow through, is it? So you want to make sure you're helping people as much as possible. And I think that sounds great. And it fits. You know, I said at the front, you know, great customer service and communications is one of those key tenets of the business. And it sounds like with the new site, you're taking that up another level, because you do an awful lot of involving your customers at every stage of the process. You know, I've seen photos on Facebook about we're trying to pick between the green one and the pink one. Which do you like best? Do you find that's a really important part of the process for you, getting the customers involved in the whole kind of vision of the store?
I think it's important to hear what they think. It's important also to know when to listen to them and when not to.
So true.
Because I have had people, and they will swear blind that they want that lovely toffee colour bra, and they see it in the shop. It's not the same when you see a photo as you do when you see it on a map, on a person or a mannequin, or, you know, in real life.
Yeah.
You know, and I know that is going to suit fewer people than the pink one will. But it's always interesting to get feedback. And I want people to feel that we're a very approachable business. And, you know, they can come to us with questions and ask us and tell us what they think. Because especially when you're a luxury brand, I think people get, there are a lot of barriers. And we have this with the brick shop. It's like, oh, we thought you were a bit posh till we came in. It's like, all right, thanks.
Is that a compliment or not?
Yeah, because we're not posh. But, you know, we have a bit of a laugh with our customers and a joke, and we don't take it too serious. We want it to be a pleasant, inclusive experience for everybody who comes in, whether they are coming to buy, coming to have a fitting, or just coming just to have a little bit of a look around. And what we've always said about the website is we want it to be an online version of that.
Yeah, and I've looked at a fair amount of your social media, and it certainly seems very obvious to me that from what you're saying now about, you know, breaking down that barrier of, yes, we sell luxury goods, but we're not snooty and difficult to speak to. Well, you're more than welcome to come and have a look. Certainly the tone of what you're putting out on Facebook invites people in, and it starts to break down that fear of opening the door, you know, which we've all felt at one point or another going past a shop and going, oh, I really like that, but it looks a bit intimidating. So that makes a lot of sense. Oh, I had a really good question there, which has just properly flown out my head. Oh, yes, I was going to say about the Pinterest site, because you have a lot of Pinterest followers.
Yes, and when I'm sort of pinning like a mad thing, we get a heck of a lot of traffic from it, but we don't see the conversions.
I think
it's not mature enough as a platform. Ready to convert, you know, for us, for Pinterest, it is heavily US based. You know, when you are clicking on things, you don't necessarily get to the end product. So a lot of the things we've pinned are old pictures. But I know that people are just pinning things because they like to look at them, not necessarily because they have the intention to buy. But they're bringing in sort of buy now buttons, which I think will help with that idea of converting to sales.
Yeah, and the whole promoted
people
pins
will know
things.
It. Yeah, and that people will know that that is a product that is available now.
Yeah, I think even with that, it's going to be quite interesting with your products because they're the more aspirational end of the lingerie market. I think there'll always be a level of people pinning what they like and then finding the cheaper option in the local department store. So it'll be interesting to see what happens when that functionality, you know, the promoted pins, etc. functionality comes over to the UK to see what impact it has for you.
I mean, we do have customers in the US. The brands that we do, again, they're very niche because as well, especially the Prima Donna, which goes all the way up to the J Cup, it's not easy to find even alternatives in other brands.
Yeah.
So when people have tried it and bought it, they will search the ends of the earth for it.
Because that is the brand that works for them. I guess it's the larger the cup size becomes, the more you become brand linked as a buyer.
Yeah. And we even have customers who will only go with one collection in one brand and they won't touch anything else.
Wow. So it's even only one collection in one brand.
Yeah. We have a bra called the Prima Donna Deauville. And we sell it over and over and over again. And we have customers who will not even try anything else that's from the same brand.
Because they know that works. And they know it's great.
Because it really is the best bra. There's no doubt. I can't, and I won't try and convince them otherwise. Because it is the most supportive bra they will ever find. And most comfortable.
Wow.
And I don't.
For all the ladies listening, I might have to put a link to that on the show notes.
it is fantastic. It's not for everyone. I mean, I wouldn't want to wear it, but I'm not a G cup, so. But yeah, for some, it just works wonders.
Oh, cool. Okay, so what, Catherine, do you think is the most awesome thing about your business right now?
I think it's the opportunities we've got, especially with the new website. We are looking at streamlining the process, offering more services to the customers, like the Skype fittings, and with social media we can build the awareness out past the UK.
So do you really see social media as being a key part of that international play for you?
I think it helps. Again, it's Facebook and everything is similar to Pinterest. People like our page because it's aspirational, but we do see more conversions via Facebook than we do through Pinterest. Social media works very well for us for our local customer base about keeping in touch with them.
Yeah. Is it interesting you get a better conversion from Facebook than Pinterest traffic, because the global stats, you know, which don't take account of niche and product type and all the rest of it, are that Pinterest has a better conversion rate than anything else. So
I think it depends on, is that a US stat?
That is the global.
I
would assume it's either US or it's just all traffic, but it's certainly a non-industry specific area.
Yeah, I think, and this is what's important to say, everybody should be on Facebook or everyone should be on Pinterest. What works for you won't work for somebody else.
Totally. We've just, to illustrate that, during the course of launching the podcast, we spent a lot of money and effort on Facebook for e-commerce master plan, which was partly the challenge to my social media team was prove to me that I should be on Facebook because I'm not sure I should. And we found we could get phenomenal engagement on Facebook, on the Facebook platform, that is. You know, the social media guys who work across a lot of business would go, this is brilliant. Look at all this engagement. But you look over that 8 weeks at the conversion rate from the different social channels, and we were focusing on Twitter, LinkedIn and Pinterest. Twitter, LinkedIn and Facebook even. Facebook, not one conversion. And you're like, well, in that case, we're now ignoring Facebook. So anyone who thinks I'm not posting on Facebook enough, it's intentional.
I would say with Facebook, it's a slower burn. You have to really work on building the relationships on Facebook, and you are competing with so many other people. and not just other businesses, you're competing with people's friends and silly videos, and people are very much in their leisure time when they're on there.
Exactly. I don't think when people are in their leisure time, they're too worried about the latest e-commerce master plan podcast, is my hunch as well. You know, if
just sad people like me.
I mean, anyone who is on Facebook wondering where the next e-commerce master plan podcast is, I am more than, you know, happy for you to be doing it. But I think the general population are looking elsewhere for it. So, Catherine, what's on your radar, your to-do list right now?
Get my website launched. That is launched. Going. Once that is launched, there will be a brand new Google AdWords campaign, including some wonderful remarketing. We'll be doing a huge amount of SEO. The blog will be revived. I've just let it slide. And I think that's the tough thing, is trying to keep it all going. Most of the work is done by me and Tricia. I outsource a lot. If you're looking for a really handy place to get some help, I use upwork.com. So I've got a copywriter on there, somebody else who helps me keep all my product database up to date, someone else who's just cutting and pasting product descriptions into the website because I don't have time to do it all myself. But once, and we have peak times as well, so there's no point in employing somebody locally, because for 3 months in the middle, that's not great for in the middle of stock deliveries or new seasons. There's not a huge amount to do.
Yeah, I'm a massive fan of sites like Upwork. Everyone who's heard me previously rave about Elance has now become Upwork. And I use it for so many things. You know, things which you can use the same person again and again, or just one-off research jobs, or, you know, copywriting jobs, or such a good tool. On the basis of that tip, I think it's time we moved into the top tips round.
Da-da.
Indeed. thank you for filling in the jingle there. I love this section because it gives me and our listeners some really quick ideas for taking our business to the next level. Catherine, are you ready for the quick fire top tips?
I am, on the edge of my seat.
Excellent. So first up, your book top tip. If everyone listening to this podcast agreed to take Friday off and read a book to make their business better, which book would you recommend?
I'd recommend Unmarketing by Scott Stratton. It is one, it's very informative, but it's also very amusing. A lot of the case studies he uses, and I think it works well for both bricks and clicks businesses. The message of it is act like a human being towards your clients and not fall into jargon and corporate speak when you're talking to them.
That's not one I've come across, so I'm going to have to look that one up. Since starting this podcast, the list of books I'm supposed to be reading, it's just taking over the office at the moment. So I think I might have to take a whole week off to read them all. So next up, the traffic top tip. Which marketing method do you either prize above all others or think doesn't get the press it deserves?
I would say the best converting tool that I use is Google AdWords. I'm come from a traditional marketing background where you'd work in departments and people would put adverts in newspapers and sort of cross their fingers and hope people saw it, which I never felt overly comfortable with. So I absolutely adore AdWords, where you can actually see how much it costs me for every sale I get.
And when you're talking AdWords, are we talking keywords, remarketing, Google Shopping campaigns?
It's keywords, Google keywords is what I do the most of. We promote based on brand because that's how most people find us and that's what they're most interested in. So we're very specific. So we're not going for keywords that have huge amounts of traffic, but it's very qualified traffic.
So you're not bidding on bra, for example?
No, that would be crazy.
It'd be insane.
Loads of people looking for bars in New York that have just spelt it wrong.
Excellent. So moving swiftly on, the tool top tip. This might be a team collaboration tool, social media plugin, phone app, way of working? Is there a cool little tool you use that makes you, your team, more efficient day to day?
I have to say, it's a case of outsourcing to Upwork that saves me a huge amount of time. And I found I've been really lucky with the quality of freelancers I found on there as well.
My experience with the likes of Upwork and Elance is actually the general quality on there is superb. I'm not sure it's quite a case of luck of finding the right people. I think actually the quality generally on there is very, very good. I've only ever had one bad supplier on there. And to be fair, I think it was because I went for the cheeky, excessively low priced one and I should have known better.
Yeah, that's always tempting though, isn't it?
It is. Oh, you want to turn my entire book into tweets for $10? Yeah, let's give it a go. Surprise, surprise, crash and fail. So I'm not entirely certain that was either Upwork's or the freelancer's fault. I think that's probably my fault. Oh, but a brilliant recommendation. I'm really pleased you've chosen that one as your tool top tip. Startup top tip next then. If you met someone this weekend who's thinking of starting an e-commerce business, what would be your first tip for them?
Pick your product very, very carefully. You don't have to have hundreds of products. Like I said, I sell this. My business is built on two bras that I sell over and over and over again. Anything else is just icing on the cake. Also, I would, if I had my chance again, I would never go online with lingerie. It's really complicated.
If we were doing this interview in a month's time when the new website's live, would you still be thinking you should never have gone live? Or is it just because you're in the midst of the nightmare complexity of lingerie online at this precise moment in time?
No, I think to be successful online, simpler products just work better. So if I'd picked pajamas, for example, and you have small, medium, large, extra large, and you have black, white and red. Perfect. Happy days. I have, I have four or five brands, which is small for a lingerie shop. Each brand has six collections. In each collection, I could have six different styles of bra, all available in three different colours. And then you've got all the different iterations of back and cup size to go with it.
Lordy.
Yeah. So it's not just an integration nightmare. It's a stock management challenge as well.
And how to display that on the site as well. You know.
Yeah. We're very lucky that we work with a very good company. That means we can do it just in time. If we had, we could never manage this business without that option.
And
because we couldn't afford to hold all that stock.
Yeah, just to be clear to everyone, I'm assuming by just in time, you mean you're buying from a wholesaler who allows you to buy, they hold the stock and you select which individual bra you want at any point in time and they deliver it to you fast. Would that be?
Yeah, we get it in a couple of days. 2-3 days.
Yeah, because the algorithm to try and work out what stock you need would be would require a PhD in physics or something, I would think.
Yeah, and you cannot tell one day. We find this one season, everybody wants a blue bra. The next season, everyone's going, "Oh no, I wouldn't wear blue if you paid me." You're like, "But last year, everybody loved it." And you're like, "What?" It's so subjective as well.
Cool. So your startup top tip is to pick the product carefully, to keep it simple.
Keep it simple.
Easy to manage.
Don't think that you have to have a website full of hundreds of products. You really don't. You can run a website on 10.
Excellent advice, and advice I heartily agree with. So Master Plan World, you can find the top tips and links to everything else we've been chatting about in today's episode by going to ecommercemasterplan.com/plums. One final top tips question. If your business didn't exist, which e-commerce business would you like to be running?
I would like, and I think it, purely for a fun factor, not necessarily for an easy life factor, is Shoes of Prey. Have you seen that one?
That's the Australian site, isn't it?
The bespoke shoe manufacturer.
Oh, yes.
It is a fantastic concept. You go in, you design your shoe based on templates and materials that they provide. They make them. 6 weeks later, you get them delivered. If you do not like them, if you're not happy with them, you send them back. And you have a 365 days to return them unworn. I would not like to have to deal with their returns, frankly.
Yeah, they're one of my wish list companies to get on the podcast, to be honest. So if anyone listening happens to work at Shoes of Prey and knows someone in the marketing team or one of the owners who'd like to be on the podcast, please send them in my direction, because it's an awesome business. It's like mass customization with all the customer service that goes with it.
Yeah, their customer service is second to none.
Such a cool business. Right, Catherine, what a fascinating chat. It has been an absolute pleasure to spend time with you today, discovering how you're driving your boutique Bricks and Clicks e-commerce business. Before we say goodbye, would you like to remind listeners where they can find you and your business on the web and social media?
Well, you can find Plums at plumslingerie.com. On Facebook, we are facebook.com/plumsonline. Twitter, it's plumslingerie, shockingly enough. You can find me. I also do social media consulting. Basically, you can just Google Catherine Salt and I am all over the shop.
Excellent. And I'll add a link to that Pinterest place we were talking about as well later on. Excellent, Catherine. I will add links to all of that and everything else we've talked about in the show notes. Masterplan World, you can find those at ecommercemasterplan.com/plums. And if that's not quite working in any dialect around the world, it's P-L-U-M-S, as in the fruit. Or just go to the website, click on the podcast tab, or use the search box. Catherine, thank you for being on the E-commerce Masterplan podcast today and for being so generous sharing your experience with us.
Well, thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Catch you all next time. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. Find out more at ecommercemasterplan.com.